this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
To the end, Joseph.
in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Please stand for the Hallelujah Chorus. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.
Enjoyed the program tonight. What a blessing it is to sing songs in honor of our Savior and His birth. Let's turn in our hymn books, if you would, to hymn 142. 142, our Christmas song of today is O Little Town of Bethlehem. Stand, if you would, and join together singing. Tonight we'll sing the first verse and the third and the fourth verses. Everyone singing, O little town of Bethlehem,
how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shine the everlasting light.
How silently
the one who's in this
hymn,
so God.
child. Sing together. Oh, holy child of
Bethlehem, be sent to us.
Thank you. Good singing tonight. Be seated as the ensemble comes.
Just a cradle of a cross, just a cradle in the shadow of a cross. Little Lord Jesus, born in a manger, just a
thank you, ensemble, and thank you, choir. Thank you, Brother Reed, and ladies at the instruments, and all who had a part in the presentation tonight. What a blessing it was. I hope you're mindful that our services go out over the internet, and most every week we get some kind of correspondence from somewhere in the world where the services were a blessing to someone who happened to tune in. And there are people in various parts of the world that listen on a regular basis now to the services here at Trinity Baptist. And so when you sing, when you preach, when you have a part in the service, it's not just for the people who are here, but people literally all over the country. I got an email this week from Jakarta, Indonesia, about a man that's been listening to the services and what a blessing they've been to him. I've heard from people in Africa and South America and Brazil and England and just all over the various parts of the world. And it's amazing that we can stand here and sing or preach and the gospel go out and touch people's heart in places we've never been. What a marvelous, marvelous day we live in. And Brother Reed, thank you for your hard work and your leadership. As you noticed, I dressed with a dark suit and a red tie and red handkerchief again this year, but they didn't call on me again. So left me entirely out of the Christmas program. I'd been humming all afternoon. And it's a special treat to have our friend, Brother Randy Taylor. Brother Randy is an evangelist. His headquarters is up in West Union, West Virginia, down at the end of the holler. They get Monday sunshine on Tuesday. They're so far back in the holler. Beautiful area where Mount Salem campgrounds are, and we're grateful that his ministry carries him all over the country. He still conducts tent revivals in areas where they'll let him put up a tent and still has great success in it. He also heads up the God Save America conferences that have been such a blessing to me. And we're honored to have him in our services tonight. He is from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. His parents live over in Mesquite. And every year he comes down, spends a few days with his family at Christmas time, and he has a standing invitation when he's down and needs a place to preach to give us a call. We're always honored to have him in our pulpit. Brother Randy, we thank you for coming, and we ask God to use you tonight. At the end of the message, he's going to tell you about his tape table, his DVD table out there, and CD table, and booklets, and so forth. Listen up very carefully when he does that. But now he's come to preach. And Brother Taylor, we welcome you to Trinity Baptist Church.
Thank you, sir, for coming. God bless you.
All right, it is a joy. And I, too, was blessed by that wonderful music tonight. It did my heart well. And I love good singing. Amen. Especially when Baptists are doing it. Amen. You know that Tabernacle Mormon choir, whatever that is, doesn't have anything over on your choir tonight. Amen. That was wonderful. And a lot of meticulous work had to go into that. Thank you so much. And I do appreciate Dr. Smith. He's a hero of mine and a mentor of mine. And I do love him and thank God for him. Appreciate him. He and the wife, we've been praying for both of them. And I hope you have a wonderful Christmas season. My two brothers and I and son and nephew will be leaving tonight to head west and then south to get into where we can find a blood sacrifice before it's over with. Amen. And so anyway, you pray about that. We're having a good time with the family. My wife and I and my oldest brother, who's now working with us at the campgrounds, and there in West Virginia. And then my son, we landed last night at DFW, and it's been one meal after another meal after another meal. So I'm twice the man. I'm going to go home twice the man that I came. Amen. And I appreciate Mama's good cooking. We had a wonderful time with them. And then over at my wife's place, the truth is my wife couldn't come tonight. She broke her toe sacrificing, decorating for Christmas. And something that one of the boxes moved and a big plant fell off and broke her toe. And well, that's what they said. I've had this pain back here for a while. I don't know where it came from, but anyway, so you pray. But she sends her love to one of you wonderful friends. Thank you so very, very much for being friends to us. Thank you. I would be remiss not to say thank you for your support, and both to the conferences and to the ministry. I do appreciate it so very, very much. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas time. Well, I have a few jokes, if you don't mind laughing about them. I'd appreciate that. The year was 1948. This is election year. And if they move it up any farther, we'll have an election tomorrow, I guess. But this was the year 1948. You may recall that in July 8, 1947, witnesses claimed that they saw an unidentified object with five aliens aboard it crash into a sheep and cattle ranch just outside Roswell, New Mexico. Anybody ever been to Roswell? I have, and they've got those green Martian for street lights out there, and kind of a weird city. But anyway, well-known incident, and some believe covered up by the federal government, the U.S. Air Force. However, you may not know that on the month of March 1948, exactly 9 months after that historic day, Albert Arnold Gore Jr., Hillary Rodham Clinton, John Kerry, William Jefferson Clinton, Howard Dean, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Charles Schumer, and Barbara Boxer were born. That's what they get for hanging out with a bunch of aliens, amen. And we are from West Virginia. I did wear my shoes tonight, though. I'm trying to watch myself here. Who says rednecks aren't real bright? Hello, this FBI. Is this the FBI? Yes. What do you want? Well, I'm calling to report my neighbor Billy Bob Smith is hiding marijuana fire in his firewood. Thank you very much, sir, for the call. The next day, the FBI agent descends on Billy Bob's house and makes a search in the firewood and chops it all up with axes and bursts every piece open, didn't find any marijuana. And they said a few choice words to Billy Bob and left his house. The phone rings at Billy Bob's house. Hello, Billy Bob. Did the FBI come? Yep. Did they chop up your firewood? Yep. Merry Christmas, buddy. We get the job done any way we can, amen. Talking about the FBI, they wanted some new assistants and went through a long line of interviews and background checks and testings. And there were three finalists, two men and a woman. And one man said that, well, he was asked to take a gun and go into a room and kill his wife with that gun. And he said, that is impossible. I'll not do such an outlandish thing. And they said, well, you're not cut out for the job. The second man told him the same instructions. He went through the metal door, went inside with a gun, came back several minutes later, weeping and crying, said, I can't do this. This is not for me. And they said, okay, you're not for the job. The final person was a woman. She got the same instruction. She went in, she took a gun with her, and she shot several times, and all you heard was screaming and crashing and banging against the walls. A few minutes later, she walks out, and she looks at the FBI agents, and she wipes the sweat off her brow, and she said, this gun is loaded with blanks. It took me 15 minutes to beat him with the butt of that gun. All right. That's for all you gun lovers out there, you man. All right. Get your Bibles and would you stand with me, please. And what a wonderful time of the year, amen. What a wonderful time of the year. I don't have no other way of getting this done other than if you would follow me as quick as you can, almost like a Bible sword drill. I have three opening verses as a text verse. Would you get to Exodus chapter 17 and follow along with two other verses throughout the Bible? One in the Old Testament, two passages of the New Testament. Exodus in chapter 17, Would you look, please, in verse number 6? If you're happy here this evening, would you say amen?
Amen.
Verse 6 of Exodus 17, "Behold, I'll stand before thee there upon a rock." Notice that rock in Horeb. "Thou shalt smite the rock, and thou shalt come water out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did in the sight of the elders of Israel, and they called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, and caused of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, let's read the next phrase aloud together, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Once more, "Is the Lord among us or not?" 1 Corinthians, please, quickly, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as quick as you can get there, if you would, please, and find verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 22. "For the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God." And then one more, Luke chapter 2, please. The book of Luke, chapter 2. I love this blessed book, the Bible. Luke chapter 2, if you would, please. Chapter 2 and verse 34. "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother," speaking of Jesus' mother, "Behold, this child is set for" what? "The fall and rising again of many in Israel, and a sign which shall be spoken" what? "Against." Would you allow me tonight to preach one word of title to you tonight? It is the word "overlooked." Would you bow your heads, please? Our Father, we come to you tonight asking, dear God, for direction and blessing and help and power. Lord, thank you for this wonderful place. I do not count it lightly. What a privilege to be here, to stand behind the pulpit of which one of the greatest preachers that ever mounted a pulpit graces every week. And I pray you'd help me, Lord, and as I stand here, in his stead, to be a blessing to these folks, his flock. I pray you bless now this message. Use, I pray, the thought. May it be something that overwhelms us around this time of the year. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Whose son is Jesus who is called Christ? The Bible declares that Jesus is the Son of God, and John 20 and 4 and 31, the Bible said, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in him, you might have life through his name." What a wonderful thing to know the Lord as your Savior. Did you remember what we repeated together in Exodus 17, 7? The Bible said there, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Sometimes I wonder if the world even recognizes the Lord Jesus. It makes me mad when I hear that people like politicians get up and talk about religion and never mention his name. If you don't like that, you can just get right about it. Luke chapter 2 and 34, we read that Jesus said, or Simeon said about Jesus, that he's set for a fall and that he would be spoken against. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 23, we read about, the Bible said that we preach Christ, the Jews preach him as a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. Some looked for a sign. Some wanted more. They thought that he was a stumbling block and foolishness, and they sought after wisdom, and they sought after a sign. Jesus, my Lord and Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords, my Master, was born in a stable, and his mother, without a midwife or a doctor, wrapped this babe in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. That makes the birth of Jesus sound unimportant, and he himself overlooked. But the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, my Savior, was not overlooked. As a matter of fact, it was planned before the world began. God had promised a Redeemer even to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Also, He promised to Abraham and Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Zechariah. God made sure that that birth in Bethlehem was a holy night, and that the King and Savior of mankind would be born in the hometown of King David. While the shepherds watched and kept their flocks by night, the angels announced from on high with the full light of heaven. The angels said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Christ the Lord. "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Ladies and gentlemen, I say to you that that was the greatest and is the greatest news that man has ever heard. A Savior was born to forgive the sins of man. The Son of Man who came to the sons of men. What an unbelievable statement, my friend. And what an unbelievable thing that God did for us through His Son. And that if a sinner would trust Him, any man in the world would trust Him, they could have Him as their personal Savior. And then all the angels joined in from a song of heaven. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels said where He would be born, and how He would be wrapped in swaddling clothes and then lying in a manger. And for the first time, the shepherds saw Him with their very own eyes. And they were glad to herald the news that the King was born. To tell what they had seen, our Savior was born. Jesus, baby Jesus, a virgin mother born, laid in a manger cradle, wrapped in swaddling clothes and warm. Birth cry in the dark stable in the night. The inn, no room. Jesus, baby Jesus, Son of God, to share earth's gloom. Jesus, how the angels with delight the story told. Told to Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds as in their fold. Full of light the heavens and the chanted peace on earth. Jesus, baby Jesus, what glad news, the Savior's birth. Wise men came to see Him, having seen the star afar. Brought their gift of precious gold and frankincense and myrrh. Herod heard, was troubled, could not kill the holy child. Jesus, baby Jesus, King and priest and Savior mild. Jesus, baby Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, tempted, poor, and suffering. No one knows us as He can. Holy, righteous, blameless, fitting sacrifice complete. By His blood atonement, God and sinners in Him do meet. Jesus, baby Jesus, there's a cross along the way. Born to die for sinners. Born for crucifixion day. I want to present to you tonight the best I know how. The grounds upon which our Lord was overlooked. And the truth is, if you would believe what the Bible says about our Lord at His birth, it would settle all questions that you would have to even receive Him as your personal Savior. Listen carefully. Number one, I believe that Jesus was overlooked in His coming. His first coming was for your redemption. Amen. His second coming will be for to take us all to glory someday. His first coming was when He touched this earth. How many of you believe in the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ? Some believe that His birth was impossible. God became a man with a virgin mother and no earthly father. Born of a woman. They cannot believe that He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, they say He must be illegitimate because God would not taint His reputation. Some not only believe that it is impossible, but some believe that it is unthinkable. Is Jesus the Son of God? Was Christ the Savior? Was He God manifest in the flesh? Was He absolutely without sin? Was there a miracle of conception? Was He conceived of the Holy Ghost and not man? Did Christ or does Christ have an eternal existence? Some believe that it's impossible, this virgin birth of Christ. Some believe that it is unthinkable. Some believe that it is unnecessary. Why would God want to become a man? It would go against God's own holiness. But I hold this Bible in my hand tonight with full authority and assurance of the Word of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit tonight. I tell you, my friend, that my Jesus never dishonored God. He never sinned one sin. He never thought one impure thought. He is the Son of God. And it was necessary for Him to come and expose God the Father and reveal Him. Some believe that it was impossible, unthinkable, unnecessary, and unbelievable. They say that intelligent people do not believe and could not believe in the virgin birth. In the minds of some people, Jesus is just a mere myth. They say that Jesus never claimed that He was even virgin born. If that be true, then why would He say in John 6 and 48, I am the bread of life? And in John 6 and 33, He said, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven. Cometh down from heaven. And giveth life unto the world. Why would God say in John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you tonight that He was begotten physically by God. He is the only one equal with God. Why can't we just believe the Bible? John 10 and 30, the Bible said, I and my Father are one. Some believe that He could not be the Son of God because nothing was ever said about it in Mark or John. The book of Mark begins with Christ's public ministry. And John had Matthew and Luke's gospel and was preaching it and believing it. Why can't we just believe the Word of God? Some say that there's no scientific record of His birth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about the mere birth of a man. We're talking about the God-man. Jesus was no ordinary man, but a God-man, God incarnate in human flesh. I believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say to you, my friend, you must believe. In order to receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you must believe that He is the Son of God, human form, to be saved. I say to you tonight, science has spoken, but so has God. Before man ever thought it, God knew all about it. Some believe that the virgin birth was not important. And I would say to you that that is an attack on His cradle. That is an attack on the tomb. And that is an attack on His cross. His birth was a miracle, just like His resurrection was a miracle. His sinless life, this inspired book, His divine testimony would defeat any attack that any man could ever muster up against Him. You must believe on the Son of God. I would say, second of all, not only was He overlooked at His coming, but number two, He was overlooked as Christ here on earth. How many of you believe not only in the virgin birth, but the deity of Christ? Do you believe in that tonight? Satan tried everything to keep Him from being born. And he would have given anything to keep Him in the tomb. And the Lord's works and teaching here on earth was rejected by all men. Many men. And today the battle rages, fought by professors in classrooms and preachers behind pulpits, performers in the street. Is Christ an impostor? Is Christ an impersonator? Is Christ a usurper, an imitator? A blasphemer? Is Christ a fraud? Paranoid? A pretender? If He is, then He's that much and much more. But if the Bible is true, and it is, Mark 16, 15, the Bible said, whom say ye that I am? If He's not the Son of God, then He has deceived countless millions, degraded faith, desecrated all that is holy, would be deplored by believers, devaluated the Bible, destroyed the prophets, denounced the truth, dissolved history, darkened life, shattered dreams, and dethroned God But I say to you, my friend, that God, that Jesus is God. Always has been, always will be. His name is stamped on the memory of every mind of every man, from Adam down through the human race, down to you and I. Nothing, nothing, my friend, would be possible without Jesus. I like what A.W. Tozier said. I believe he said that Jesus died for man's sin because it is incredible. And then he said, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead because it is impossible. I'm telling you, my friend, you must believe in the deity of Christ. You must believe that he's God in the flesh. Number three, Jesus was overlooked not only in his coming and as Christ, but he's been overlooked in his compassion. Do you believe tonight in the forgiveness of sin by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in that tonight? He took fever from the sick. We're talking about his compassion. He took blindness from the beggar, gave food to the poor, made life from the grave and raised the dead. He took a fish and five loaves out of one boy's basket and fed 5,000. He healed diseased bodies and straightened out twisted limbs and salvaged homes and dried up tear-stained eyes and clothed the naked, and he cast out demons from the demonic. Are you listening to me? I'm saying that he is the brightness of the sun. He is the reflection of the moon. He is the fragrance of the flowers. He is the light of the stars. He is the rhythm of poetry, the music of the songs. He is the beauty of art. He is my redeemer of my soul. He is the forgiver of my sin. Not only was he overlooked, it is coming, and overlooked as Christ, and overlooked by his compassion. But he was overlooked with his crown. Do you believe, my friend, that he is our only substitute tonight? Do you believe that? Without the birth of Jesus, there would be no Savior. There'd be no salvation. My Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus was a Jewish baby. He was also the son of Adam, the son of man and all mankind. He was the seed of Abraham and of the house of David. Yet, he was rejected by his own, sinned against by mankind. He was born to die, yet lived sinless here on earth. They condemned him of no sin to die on the cross for my sin. Every sin of man. And that is why we can gladly sing this wonderful hymn during these days of Christmas. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their song employ. While fields and rocks, fields and floods, rock hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. For as the curse is found, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love. You see, my friend, his crown was a crown of thorns. In Matthew 27 and 42, the Bible said that he saved others. That's what the Sadducees were saying of him. And the elders were saying of him. And the Pharisees were saying of him. He saved others. Himself he could not save. It's not that he could not. It is that he would not. He died willingly for my sin. If the Lord could not have it both ways, then I would say to you tonight, you and I cannot have it both ways. Without Christ, there would be no hope for the lost or the dying. Without Christ, not one would have ever been born again. Not one would have ever been saved. And that faultless Christ came to die for me. That faultless Christ came to be my substitute for my sin. That's why you and I tonight ought to make him king of our life. And crown him King of Kings. And then, if you're still with me tonight, listen to the last. Jesus was also overlooked, and still is, at Christmas. At Christmas. How many of you believe tonight that He is the only hope of salvation for any man? At the manger, there were few people there. You read the story. We sang about it tonight. A lonely babe at Bethlehem. Just a few, only a loving family around that manger. Only a few friends. And a lifetime Lord that came from that manger. Just a few people was there on Resurrection Day at the tomb. It seems to me there were more to watch Him die than to watch Him live. More people came to see Him die than to see Him live. How should a king come? Even a child knows the answer, of course. In a coach of gold with pure white horse, in a beautiful city in prime of day, the trumpets should cry and the crowds make way, the flags fly high, the morning sun, the people all cheer for the sovereign one. Everyone knows that's the way it's done. That's the way that a king comes. How should a king come? Even a commoner understands. He should come for his treasure, his houses and lands. He should dine upon summer strawberries of milk and sleep upon bedclothes of satin and silk. On high of a hill, his castle should glow with the lights of the city like jewels below. Everyone knows that's the way that it's done. That's the way that a king should come. How should a king come? On a star-filled night into Bethlehem rode a weary woman and a wearied man. And the only sound of the cobbled street was a shuffle of the ring of the donkey's feet. And the king lay hid in a virgin's womb, and no crowd to see him come. At last, born in a manger of hay, he came, God incarnately. The angels cried, glory to God. The earth was silent, so heaven rang. Glory to God, glory to God. Men were dumb, so the angels sang, glory, glory to God. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Glory, glory to God. Glory to the highest and glory to God. Thank God, my friend, that's how a king should come. Close your Bibles and look this way. Jesus was overlooked. Don't miss what I'm about to say in closing. Listen very carefully. He was overlooked at His coming. Would you agree with that? But He still is the virgin-born Son of God. He was overlooked at Christ. Would you agree that He is deity? He was overlooked in His compassion. Do you believe that your sins are forgiven only by Him? He was overlooked with His crown. Do you believe that He is your substitute? And He was overlooked at Christmas. I'm so glad that we have our Lord Jesus, aren't you? In the book of 1 Samuel, and if you'll let me close, I like to pride myself as being a Bible preacher, meaning most of my illustrations come out of the Bible. Listen carefully. In 1 Samuel, the Bible says in chapter 16, the old prophet Samuel, the old prophet of Israel, was told of God that a new king should be appointed, even while a king was still sitting on the throne. Israel wanted a new king. They did not trust God like they should have. And so they chose Saul. Saul started out right, but he ended wrong. God wants you to start right and end right. And of God's own opinion of Saul, He called him a bloody king. And then the Lord told Samuel, I want you to go choose the second king. The truth is, Israel chose the first, but I'll choose the second. And I want you to go to the house of Jesse. There you'll find the new king of Israel. You'll take your horn of oil and you'll anoint him as the new king of Israel. When he went to Jesse's house, he said, I'd like to find your sons. I'd like to meet them. And so Jesse paraded those sons across him, Samuel, to see who they were and what they were. And the first was Eliab. He was known his name as whose father is God. And then there was Abinadab second, who filed before him, whose name meant nobility. And then there was Shammah, whose name meant valor. Seven sons like these. Nobility and valor. Probably all fit for the occasion, dressed, and everybody wanting to come, knowing they could be the next king, seven sons of Jesse. And the question was asked by Samuel to Jesse, are here all thy children? And Jesse responded, the young remaineth, the youngest remaineth. And he said, I want to see you. But he said, he's in the field, he's keeping the flocks, he's watching after the sheep. There's something about this shepherd thing, isn't there, in the Bible? And he said, I'll wait. And when he saw David, the youngest of Jesse's sons, he said, that's the one. That's the one. Why do I bring that up? Because I believe that what the Bible says, that Jesus was from the seed of David. Amen. And that one day he'll sit in David's throne. And there'll be no other king from that last, which was Zedekiah, unto the new king, of which is Jesus. Amen. To sit in that throne. And I would say to you, my friend, there's always been someone, and always been, even from the nation whom God chose as his own children, he called him, the children of God, whom God chose as his own nation. From that time, even really from the Garden of Eden till now, he has been overlooked. I love the Christmas season. And I'll close with this thought. I love the glitter. I love the beauty. But I love it most because everyone has to hear, whether they want to or not, about that lovely name called Jesus. Now you go ahead and have all of your fun, from meals to parties and packages. But I would ask every Christian who names the name of Christ, who bears his name as Savior, I would ask every one of us not to overlook him this season. I would ask us all to share it with a neighbor or a friend. I would ask us all, no matter what fun and family you might be around this week and the next week, I would ask you to make sure that America does not overlook the one who makes America all possible. And that you and your family take time, even around Christmas Day, not to worry about the packages first, but to tell the greatest gift that was ever given. And that is Jesus, that lovely name. Shall we stand, please? Our heads are bowed. I would say to you tonight, thank God I've been overlooked. Overlooked by the world and chosen by Christ. How many of you tonight would say, Brother Taylor, tonight I do believe in the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh. He's forgiven me and loved me and he cares for me and he is there for me. And I don't want him to be overlooked in my life. And during this Christmas season, when America makes it all about the fun and the family of all the things that go on at Christmas, you'd say to tonight, Brother Taylor, as a Christian, I want to bear that lovely name, the one that was born to die for me. You'd say, pray for me tonight. I do tonight want to know him better and love him better and share that thing that the shepherds shared about. A king is born. A king is born that the angels sing about. Glory to God in the highest. You'd say tonight, pray for me. I need to make him known more. Not about me, but less of me and more of him. Pray for me in this Christmas season that I could share that gospel news about my Savior. Could I see that hand? God bless you tonight. God bless you. How many you're saved and you know it? Thank God you're saved. Hold that hand way above your head tonight. Aren't you happy that you chose Jesus? Aren't you glad you didn't overlook the fact that he wanted to love you and save you? The Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You can put your hands down. How many tonight would say, Brother Taylor, I want you to pray for me. I don't know I'm saved. I could not raise my hand a moment ago. Would you pray for me tonight? I do not know that I'm saved. But if that Son of God, that blessed Savior came down here to die for me and forgive my sin, who I am, you'd say, pray for me. A sinner lost and bound for hell. I too need a Savior. Would you pray for me tonight? I'm lost and I know it. And tonight I recognize I need a Savior to take me to heaven when I die. Could I see your hands right now? Anywhere? Would you just lift them up? Quickly put them up and right back down. I won't embarrass you. I did embarrass others when they raised their hand. And I would not embarrass you tonight. But if you'd let this man of God pray with you tonight about your soul. If you don't know you're saved. I know it's a Sunday night and I know I'm kind of preaching to that choir. But I wonder how many tonight say, Brother Taylor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Lift your hand up right now. Would you do that? Would there be one anywhere in the audience tonight? How many tonight would say, Brother Taylor, pray for my family as I see them in the next few days around the Christmas time that I'd have the courage to talk about Christ? You'd say, pray for my family. They need to be saved. Hold that hand way up high. Yes, and God bless you. In just a minute, the music will play. When they begin to play, and I'll ask Dr. Smith to come. He knows you better than I do. I want you to come. Find your place down here. If you raised your hand in your minute, if you didn't mean it, you stay where you are. Come and pray for that family member you're thinking about right now. Come and ask God to help you have courage to be a witness like you ought to be. And let's make Christ ever known. God bless you.